Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Hello, everyone. It is the Red Men podcast. We are here. I've got Mr. Chris Pajak over there.
Hello, mate.
Hey, looking good.
Rossi's here as well.
Rossi down there, Ross Chanley.
Hello. All right.
And we've got Tom Dutton as well.
I didn't practice this at the start, so I'm not fully sure which way I'm going to look. So
I'm above you. Say hello.
Hello.
right, yeah, brilliant stuff. We'll lick that. good. You say practice that, you know, we absolutely did. I think that went. I think we can all agree. Everyone watching this on YouTube can agree that went splendidly.
The last thing we said, Paul, was that we weren't going to say anything. I even said agreed, and no one nodded. All right, no one nodded.
if you're listening to this on your native podcasting app or whatever, then there's a visual gag for you and a good reason to head over to the Red Men TV YouTube channel and subscribe as well. Okay, we have got our warm-up question this week, and it comes from Dave Richard Bardsley, who wants to know what your worst / most embarrassing football or general sports injury was, is, will be, whatever. Chris Pager.
Not sure it's a sports injury, but it was done in
Then it's not the correct answer. Carry on.
Well, we were going swimming as a class.
And someone offered me some sweets.
Yeah, and I got into this van and I'm really, really sore bottom. Skipped a few stages there. But no, we were going swimming in school, and so we used to go down to Waverty before it was like a fucking massive pool, when it was proper shit. It was like 16 and a half metres or whatever it was. So we used to go, and then he used to have all the changes around the outside and stuff, didn't it? Do you remember? Completely irrelevant to the story, I'm doing my ma. But so what we did was, when we were walking there, they used to have these little... forget the name of bollards. They used to have these little bollards, and the class used to all go over and leapfrog them. One at a time. Now, it was my turn to go first in the line, and I jumped, somehow pushed myself too far forwards, completely stacked it, and broke my arm while I had the entire rest of the class pissing themselves laughing at me. But because they were all laughing at me, because I was like eight, and nobody likes to be laughed at, I actually swam the whole lesson, then got taken to hospital.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Oh, that's horrible.
Was it a race or something?
What?
Like, I can imagine you being ultra competitive and being like, I've just got a race anyway.
It wasn't. Like, I was racing. but it wasn't like an organised race or anything.
To be fair, every time I see someone trying to jump over a bollard, that's exactly what I want to happen to them. Like, anytime. It's just hilarious to see someone self-inflict an injury like that. That's just all I'm going to say.
I'm not sure. Can anyone... Ross, can you top broken arm whilst bollard jumping?
I mean, no, because I've never broken a bone in my body before.
Wow.
Really?
I do restricted exercise and fucking play football, but when I was a kid, I never broke anything.
I did something similar in that way between the area. There was the football pitch outside. I went to head at a ball. I put my head anywhere. I just try and head at the ball. Exactly. And some kid kicked me right in the eye. and loads of sand and gravel, because it was a gravel pitch at the time, of sand and that, went into my eye, cut. I was lucky I didn't get blinded, cut all of there underneath, just missed my eyeball. I would have been blind, I think. And then the lad came over to try and say sorry, and I had blood everywhere, like all down my shirt. I was wearing a white shirt as well, all down me, all over my face. And I made sure to handshake him with all the blood that I could get on my hand, just to make him feel that bad. You know what I mean?
How old were you, sorry?
I was 16.
Amazing. We're in a world now where we're keeping, you know, 6 feet away from everyone, and Tom is literally shaking a blood-soaked hand with someone else on the football pitch. We'll never see them days again.
He deserved it. He kicked me in the eye.
That's amazing. So, Ross, you've never had a footballing or embarrassing injury, football injury, sports injury?
As I said that to you, I remember probably the only one that I've had was when we were playing five side. I got shoved into the sides.
I was about to say that one, yeah.
Snowing, it was really icy. There was no one near the ball. He pushed me, skidded, swatted my head. I was concussed, drove over. I probably shouldn't have done that. Yeah.
That was so funny, Ross.
You left the game early as well.
Yeah, that's me.
Smack
my head on the wall.
I know.
The sound of it was terrible.
It was gruesome, but as Tom says, physical comedy, brilliant. There's nothing better.
Yeah.
I think if you've actually got a scar on your head from us having one of them moments on them five-a-side pitches. And
I've got one on my arm from tennis as well. on the fences from tennis.
Mine was it was playing footy in the park. I've definitely told this somewhere, maybe it was on Machen Page app, but we were playing footy in the park by ours, and a lad called Danny Nakanza kicked the ball at me, or I thought he did, and the next thing I knew, I jumped up to block it, and the next thing I knew, I was coming around on the floor, and he was picking his trainee up, and as he kicked, his trainee had come off, and it on the bridge of the nose, and I had this white Inter Milan footy shirt on, and it was just covered all the way down the front in blood, and it broke my nose, and I went in, washed up, like cleaned up, changed my shirt, and came back out and played, and I was fucked. I did not know what was going on there at all. Like, yeah, basically wasn't like, I don't think I was concussed or anything, but it was just like the flat rubber sole of a trainee and whack hitting me right on the bridge of the nose. Yeah, that was it. And you know, if you even get like a slight bop on there, it properly knocks you for six. Like, but yeah, that was pretty embarrassing.
Paul, were you in? I think it was Sefton Park when we were like 17, and we were all drinking. And Robin was hanging upside down on a branch. Were you there that day? So he was about, I don't know, 10 foot up in the air, and he was just hanging upside down on the branch, and the branch snapped, and he came down on his back from 10 foot, and it was so fucking funny. Like,
he's in a wheelchair now.
I think we did have to carry him home, actually, but it was in a bad way, but for me, that was funny.
That's why you never climb a tree. I've never understood. I remember there was two girls in our school who got stuck up the middle of a tree in Caldy's Park, actually, and had to get the fire brigade to take them out. Hilarious. Don't climb up a tree. Just don't do it.
I never got it. We had a big spell of that during A-levels where we just go to the park and it would be Caldy's Park and climb trees, and it was mainly because we should have been revising and it was anything to do with that. But I never got the tree climbing thing. I think I'm tall. I didn't, you know what I mean? I never really needed another perspective on stuff, and I also was rubbish at climbing trees. Yeah, that was the real.
The best one of those types of things I've ever been witness to is my mum and dad. We used to go caravan, these tickets caravan, and we go to the same park for like two weeks every year. It was our summer holiday, and you'd go and they'd just let the kids go wherever they want. So you'd have this ginormous game of Manhunt spread across like probably 25 square miles or something, and it'd be kids from ranging from like 8 to like 16, and it's just ginormous game of Manhunt, and you could, because you're up in the mountains and all that, if someone screamed, you fucking heard it, and there was this ear-piercing scream, a girl's scream, and someone had tried to climb over a barbed wire fence and got a fanny cut on it.
Oh my god.
Like, my words, I've never seen someone in so much pain in all my life. It was so bad that I wasn't even laughing.
No.
Like, and I'm scrunching my fucking
nettles
up now, just like, ah!
Oh my God.
Yeah, the parents, the kids, everyone who's playing Manhunt, game over. No one's allowed to do that anymore.
Yeah, that's a game ender if ever there was one. A torn flaps is as good a way to stop as any there, isn't it? Oh my
question.
Yeah, let us know actually there in the comments.
If you ever had torn flaps.
If you've ever torn your genitalia, let us know in the comments. No, if you ever had any embarrassing football injuries or what have you, sporting injuries, let us know. And that'll be absolutely amazing if you could do that. I'm just trying to get to some of the comments from last week, but I'm failing miserably at doing that. So I'll
think they're under Tom.
They're under Tom. What's down there?
Yeah.
Cracking.
Tom, have a look underneath you. Are there any comments on?
Chris, any comments anyway, Tom? Right, sounds. Oh, wait.
Hey, Paul, catch on.
You should have practiced that before then.
Thank you.
I don't think he had a cuddly kitten.
Yeah, definitely. Sound anyway. Anyway, thanks everyone for your comments last week and all that. I was going to read some out, but someone called us boring, so I'm not going to say should have vetted them before I went in. Just really ruined my mood for the podcast.
That was the mate page at podcast, wasn't it? Was it Redman as well?
Someone's trolling us there. Anyway, we'll ask every week for everyone to bring a topic of discussion to the table. It can be tangentially football or Liverpool related. Chris Pajak, what have you got?
Thanks for asking, mate. So, every guest has to bring one topic of football. You can tell I've not prepared this at all. I wrote it down. I'm trying to find it. With the lack of transfer fee... Oh, sorry. Let's just start that shit again.
You want me to read it for you? It's in front
of
me now.
It's fine. I'm just going to remember it instead. Everyone's talking about the transfer fees getting dropped. Like, Mbappe is one of them. Price drops, all that type of stuff. Do you think that Liverpool will look to take advantage of the market, or do you think it will go the opposite way and nobody will spend big?
Ooh, so it's an interesting question. Is it being rostered, this news on Redman News yesterday? And because it came, that talk of like Mbappe's value is like 25 million quid, and it's like, I mean, it's not. But ultimately, I don't think players necessarily lose value, do they? But the willingness to spend. My immediate thought on it, Chris, is that I think transfer fees is what clubs will be burning to keep themselves going in this in the interim period, because they might have to. So I've got a sneaky feeling that I think we'll see fewer teams dip into the transfer market once it returns, because if not, because of the financial uncertainty. That's my gut feeling.
Why would prices drop, though? I don't understand why. I understand, like, all of the financial aspects and stuff, but why would the prices of players drop? I don't get that.
Anyone want to go for that?
Yeah. So, effectively, well, it's not that, again, it's all about what people are willing to pay and how much the selling clubs are willing to part for. Like, the example yesterday was PSG and Mbappe, which makes it ridiculous. But all of a sudden, like a Jack Grealish, as an example, or, I mean, maybe not Madison, because Leicester are quite well off, but you could find that a club that would have been had the balls to hold out for 50 million might actually have to bite at 20 to 25 all of a sudden, because they just need that money in order to function. That's one answer anyway.
I mean, it could be a nice thing. Sorry, Ross. It could be a nice thing for the player transfer fees to go down again. I mean, we're in a world where fees are absolutely astronomical for no reason other than, was it like Neymar? And then everyone's like, well, now you've got to pay this amount of money for players. It'd be nice for everything to kind of, not reset. People are still going to be worth like 30, 40 million like when they were 20 million a few seasons ago, but it'd be nice for everything just to kind of resemble something that isn't ridiculous for me.
But I think the problem is they're not ridiculous. Now, they're ridiculous to me and you, but they're only a percentage of their income. And if their income keeps rising, then the transfer fees are going to keep rising. What Paul's talking about is the income's not there now. And the expenditure's still there, so there's got to be a balance and a shortfall somewhere. And the first thing to do there is you stop spending on the future, which is transfer fees, isn't it? I'd guess,
It might be. I mean, I think some of this might be impacted by what they do with FFP, because that's going to be a mess, isn't it? How are you meant to judge a club's finances when they've gone through a pandemic, when they've gone into shutdown? How are you meant to know? And there might be, what you might find is like the super clubs use that to their advantage. So maybe they go big, you know, because they know they're going to get their incomes down the line. They know they'll be all right because they're going to have the Champions League income and they're going to have TV revenues and all that kind of stuff. So maybe they do just go, well, we'll be let off with FFP for a season, or we might be a bit of leeway. So fuck it, now is probably the time to spend above your means. That's maybe one potential outcome for it. Ross, what have you got?
Just on that. Sorry, Paul Joyce did an article about an hour ago. It's talking about Liverpool, whether they'll stick or twist in the transfer market. But he made 2 points. One, Solskjaer's already come out and said they're going to take advantage of it, but Liverpool got the advantage in the sense of everyone's playing catch up with them. Probably, you know, bar Man City, so everybody needs to go and spend in that and that thing, so they don't need to go and say, well, actually, we need to panic and start buying players. We're already ahead of everybody else. Yeah. You know, okay, you've got, you know, Lallana, Lov and Shaqiri who might end up going, but they might say to them, we'll stay for 6 months, and, you know, it's a transfer window, a winter transfer window, we'll reassess it then, and maybe that whole thing changed up, but there's no need for, from the perspective, for us to go out and buy players, because we're one of the best teams in the world anyway. It's other teams, like I said before, that, you know, Aston Villa might be desperate for money because their loss of income, they don't get the same TV revenue as Liverpool do, or we're not a global entity like Liverpool are, so they'll look up to need to worry about it, whereas I think we'll be fine.
I reckon Liverpool don't do anything.
Yeah.
I reckon Liverpool don't take advantage of the market, because I think Liverpool probably wait to see what the market looks like. I think someone like a Manchester United might go out there and overspend, and I think teams are probably a bit concerned of overspending at this point, because it's going to take a little bit of time just to settle down and see where everything is. All of a sudden, you know, United could come out and spend 50 million on a player, which was fine literally 3.5 weeks ago, probably 4 weeks ago, but they might be worth 20 and overspend by 30 million. And I think Liverpool will just go, let's just sit here. We're not going to have loads of time to integrate them into the squad anyway.
Yeah.
Let's just get them right. Play with the team that we're going to. We're going to have a shortened pre-season probably. Steamroll into next year. And hopefully it advantages Liverpool because of that.
Yeah, I think that's the where it might impact Liverpool, Ross, I guess, is like, it's who we let go.
Yeah.
You know, so like, if let's say the plan was to let Dejan Lovren and Divock Origi go, maybe that isn't the plan anymore because of that, you know, or you might find that like it's Timo Werner because the due diligence was already done, and they know they've got a rough idea of what the fee might be. But I think you're right. I think we're in that lucky position that, let's say, Lallana's going to leave. Now, you could just say to Lallana, well, listen, do you fancy another year given all these circumstances? And he might, you know, he might do. But are we also just thinking, well, Curtis Jones is probably ready to step up and take his place in the squad anyway? We are reasonably, I think we're reasonably well positioned, aren't we? I think the only, is there any way? I mean, I think the only weaknesses we would still have in the squad would be dependent on if someone wanted to force a move. We might need another centre-half, and we might still need another left-back. But even then, we've got kids who could come in.
Yeah, I think you've got to be careful in that Adam Lallana's case. You know, what clubs are going to want to spend? You know, he's on a decent wage at Liverpool at the moment. Okay, they take stay, he'll take a wage cut. But no one's going out actively buying players at the moment. Mm. And the other issue is, if Man United go out and spend £100 million on Jadon Sancho, that might be fine in 6 weeks' time. But in 2 months' time, this might kick off again.
Yeah.
And he's back to square one again, so it's paid £100 million. You can't bring the income in to then pay for the player. So you best, like Chris says, we'll do, wait for the market, wait to see what happens with the actual COVID-19, and say, wait 6 months ago, well, it's all calmed down now, we can afford to spend again, otherwise you're spending dead money.
My bet would honestly be that Man United are the club to get this the most wrong. I just feel like the setup for that at the moment. No, and I take unbelievable pleasure in that. Like, it's making me smile as well, because I think Ed Woodward or whatever will go, yeah, this is a good opportunity for me to steal it. Yeah, and look at all the exciting players. Ooh, and be enticed by the shiny things. And that's the thing, because they are. It's what would Liverpool have done in the 90s, and it's this. They would think they can catch up by going big this time, and it's not been working for them.
I think the one outlier from Liverpool has got to be, we still go out there and get Timo Werner. I think it's been on the cards for so long. We've done countless news shows about it. And I really, really feel like he's our top target. I'd love for us to sign him. And I do feel like we should be cautious in the market. I fully agree with Chris there. I just feel like don't let this affect like the overall plan. Obviously, I think he was in the plan and moving forward, he's at the right age and we can go forward and build him into something even better.
Yeah.
I'd love to see us just go, right, we understand that this is a turbulent time. Get Timo Werner in and bolster and build from there, because we still need a player like that. We still need Timo Werner.
That's a fair point. I suppose if you're looking at someone like a Werner, his release clause, I don't think he'll be matched this time, though. And that's the thing, that 50 million or whatever it is release clause, you don't need to pay that. You can probably get it for 30. And I think that if there's one club in world football, like Paul was saying with Manchester United, prior to get it wrong, if there's one club in world football to get it right, you'd back Liverpool right now, wouldn't you?
The only slight issue on that, of course, is that obviously the deep pockets that the Red Bull teams have, I'm not sure whether they would necessarily, you know, whether they would be in a position to accept that. But I don't think Werner's going to be so much that I think it makes a big difference. I think anyone who thinks Liverpool are going to capitalise by, you know, let's say Mbappe's price drops to 100 million. I don't think we're going to spend 100 million pounds. You know what I mean? Even if that is even if you're getting Mbappe at half price, and that's a mega bargain, I don't think we'd go above and beyond, because ultimately we don't need to. You know, you've still got, and that's all the talk that you hear, and Maddock keeps saying it. I think probably Joyce has alluded to it in various situations, but provided that Salah, Mane and Firmino want to stay at the club, right now there's absolutely no need to replace them. What you can do is you need to upgrade your squad players at the moment, and Werner's probably just about in that category where he understands, he's still young enough and understands his role enough to know that he's the next in line behind them, but doesn't want to, and knows he's not going to come in and be in the team, you know, first name on the team sheet kind of thing. But there's not many footballers, when you start paying 100 and 100 odd million pounds, or paying big money, whatever that looks like, for fellas who should be that way, should be that amount of money. You can get Mbappe for 25 million, but he's not going to play 50 games a season for you, because he's going to have to get in the team to do that. But it's interesting, very, very interesting.
What's interesting is the youth players. I mean, you mentioned it before, but Curtis Jones, Echo Williams, and others like that, all their growth's been hindered because there's been no football.
Yeah.
So Curtis Jones is going to come into the first team, but Liverpool should have played.
Well, Brewster's the big one for me on that, Ross, because he's gone out on loan to try and kickstart his career, and that he's one of those odd ones where if he'd finished the season straight through in the Championship and continued his goal return, he might have come back with like what, 7 or 8 goals at the Championship level, and you know, maybe a 1 in 2, just 1 in 2.5 or whatever, which is a good return. And you're thinking, okay, what can he do? What can he contribute? But he still needs that senior experience, so it might put him back. It might put his career back another season.
Yeah,
true enough. But again, you don't know what that, because we still don't know what it looks like, do we? We don't know how that fits into his profile and how that impacts the summer the transfer windows and all that kind of stuff. But he still needs to go. The thing will restart up again, and yeah, he's going to have to restart. He's either going to restart as a Swansea player, or will he? Because does his loan expire at some point during this? Exactly, yeah, it's mad. Very interesting stuff, though, Chris. Thanks for bringing that. Ross?
Yeah?
Go on.
Daily Carragher's World 11 Challenge.
Yeah.
You've all enjoyed doing. It's been quite the thing on Twitter the past couple of weeks. So I had a go with my brother at the weekend. I thought it'd be a good topic for us to get involved in, and anyone who's watching or listening to get wound up for 3, 4, 5 hours of the league trying to do it. So it's a World 11, the best players that you've seen in your lifetime. No duplicates on nationalities, and they can't have played for the same club at any point in their career. So this is
the thing that I've got a problem with.
Why?
Because that's what makes it difficult.
Yeah, of course. Why can't you have two Liverpool players that didn't play for the same team, if you know what I mean? It's just fucking stupid. Why not just fucking make shit up all the time? Why don't you just stick with the fucking best 11 you've seen? There would have been enough differences without adding all these fucking extra caveats. I haven't got the time in my day. I'm not fucking furloughed and I'm looking after 2 kids. I can't be dealing with this. I haven't got 9 hours to think about this, you know what I mean?
It did take me an hour and a half.
Absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah. I sat there and started Googling fucking who Finland's best 11s were, you know what I mean? Who is the best centre-half in Serie A in 2006 to 2010? Just to kind of refresh my memory of that. I enjoyed it, to be fair.
I think the older you are, the easier it is. Yeah. So there's people who are like, you know, who were born in the 50s and 60s, you've pissed this because they've got Pelé in there. And it's just like, Sal, there you go, no problem. Whereas we can get Maradona in there. But then that's the club thing is the knock-on effect, and I've seen this. And the reason why it's brilliant, of course, is that Jamie Carragher's marshalled this splendidly on Twitter of, like, calling people out and going, I've got it, what a team this is. And he's like, do you do remember that Taffarel played for Galatasaray alongside such and such? In fact, who was it? Who was the Geno?
Koulibaly and De Bruyne. And then he goes, oh, they both played for Ghent when we were fucking young. You're fucking out.
Yeah.
You messing? Like, he'd been serious.
Research, Tom.
The top of your head.
Do that. I looked at it when Koulibaly played for Napoli in Senegal. Who is he going to have matched with? I was like, yeah, sorted.
There you go. Let's change your team, mate.
Oh,
I'm wrong. This is what it is that it's relatively easy to get to like 7 or 8 and then it becomes a grind. And I've discovered that I really don't know. I know more goalkeepers, midfielders and forwards, like trying to pick fullbacks and centre-halves, particularly after you've gone through a period where you've picked your forwards. Because by and large, when you've picked your forwards and midfielders, in my instance, that means there's no more Liverpool players I can have, no more Man United, no more Real Madrid, no more Juventus, no more AC Milan, no more Argentina, no more Brazil, no more all the biggest sporting nations and the best teams within them are largely done before I've even started to look at my defence. Go on then.
The Brazilian players, they played for like 2, 3, 4, 5 clubs each. You just like Ronaldo, like the Ronaldo wanted him,
one of the best sides in Europe. I looked at Romario. I think there's more sides than he hasn't. He's played for more sides than he hasn't.
Yeah.
I was like, he's played for everybody.
Yeah, I've fixed it. It's easy. It's done.
Okay, so the issues I had was it was then going back through because the biggest talking point, I guess, is like you pick your, so you go for your one club men, but that still doesn't necessarily make it easier because I think like what the best example of that is like Franco Baresi, like undisputed in the list of the best centre halves ever to play the game, play for Milan his entire career, but you know you can then no longer have any Italians and you can't have anyone from AC Milan, and anyone who was good in the 90s and the early noughties played for AC Milan. So you pick Baresi, fine, one club man, but you can't have like Ruud Gullit anymore, you can't have Marco van Basten, you can't have Clarence Seedorf, you can't have Zlatan, you can't have
worst one,
Ronaldinho. I mean,
well, the thing for me is Messi and Ronaldo go in there first for me because they're the best players that I've seen play football. Right. That means Barcelona and Real Madrid are out. Yeah, for Ronaldo, it means United are out as well. Yeah. You're looking at all
and
these
Juventus.
Players. And Juventus.
I think you're talking about the wrong Ronaldo here, Tom, anyway.
Yeah.
But then... Yeah, I didn't watch much of Ronaldo, so I didn't put him in. That's the thing, is it was hard for me because
I couldn't get him in because he played for too many clubs, original Ronaldo.
Yeah, exactly. I looked at him and tried that. To be honest, my team's unbelievable, even with having to take Kevin De Bruyne out.
The problem with Ronaldo and Messi is that effectively it means you can't put a Spanish player in because all the good Spanish players played for Barcelona or Real Madrid. You know, there's some examples of that not being the case, but I'd struggle to name many who you think I definitely need to have him in my team. Well, have you done that?
Yeah, David Silva went in there.
So you've got no other Man City players in there or Valencia players?
No other Man City players in there.
Well, to be fair, you did think that it was fine prior to that, so I think someone needs to do the due diligence on Tom's team. But go on then, Tom. Go on, what's your team?
Well, Oblak in goal, because everyone, after looking at this, Oblak in goal, Slovenian, Atletico, Philip Lahm, right back, Thiago Silva, centre-half, Koulibaly, centre-half, Paolo Maldini, left back, Gerrard and Vieira in the centre with David Silva, the attacking mid, Messi on the right, Ronaldo on the left, and then Didier Drogba, centre forward.
Ooh. Very nice. Yeah, we're going to need to get to have the people at home do their due diligence on this stuff because it's too hard to keep up with it as we're saying them out loud. But if you see any problems with any teams, we'll put them in the comments. Actually, we'll do it as the pinned comment, so people can get to it on the YouTube channel, and we'll put them out on Twitter as well. Go on, Ross. This is your shout. You best have something big to bring to the table.
I don't think it's going to be Tom's, to be perfectly honest. Oliver Kahn in goal.
Oliver Kahn, okay.
Andrew Robertson, left back.
Robertson, left back?
Yeah.
You've written off Liverpool for Andy Robertson?
I mean, a Scotsman, if we fucking see.
Exactly, come on.
Paolo Maldini and Diego Godin.
Also had, like, you know, a couple of better Scotsmen than Andy Robertson.
And I put it to positions.
Okay, down. Andy Robertson.
Yeah, Maldini, Diego Godin, centre halves.
Nice.
Paulo Ferreira, who won loads of Premier League titles, and Portuguese, I might add. Roy Keane and De Bruyne sitting in midfield. Zidane ahead of them. And they've got front three of Messi, Shearer, and Aubameyang.
Nice. Not bad at all, yeah.
Oh, yeah, the Aubameyang shout is a very good one, isn't it? That's interesting. Okay, cool. Chris, you claim this was a piece of piss.
Well, I think I can put Aubameyang in for one of my players. But, yeah, I'll go with what I went with. Chilavert. Paraguay.
Yeah.
Free kicks, didn't
he? Pens as well.
Pens,
yeah. Philippe Lahm, Bayern Munich, one club man. Kompany, Vincent, obviously. Paolo Maldini, one club man. Zidane, Steven Gerrard, one club man.
What formation are you playing in?
3-4-3.
Okay, so.
Messi on the right, Giggs on the left. One club man, Didier Drogba, Dennis Bergkamp, and I think I can put Aubameyang in instead of what I had was Bebeto.
You can't have Bergkamp on.
No.
All right, well then that's why Bebeto is my other striker.
Sweet. I did a little bit of casual work on this over the weekend because it was quite interesting. Gave up when it was too tough and then realised you wanted this done for the you were going to do this for the podcast, so frantically tried to fill in my gaps. I was determined to put Gerrard in, and the first player I picked was Jose Luis Chilavert. With fullbacks. It's so crap, this team. My back four is horrendous. It's not hard. I've got Lahm and Jackie McNamara as my fullbacks. I've got Vincent Kompany and Slaven Bilic as my centre halves.
Nice.
Steven Gerrard, Roy Keane, and Zinedine Zidane as my midfield three. And then a front three of Bebeto, Maradona, and Van Basten.
Nice. Yeah. It is interesting. The first people you put down says a lot. I think mine was Gerrard, Messi, and Ronaldo, the first three, and I worked around it.
Yeah, mine was Gerrard, Zidane, and Van Basten, and Chilavert were the ones that were all in. And basically, Chilavert's like, because I knew it's a free hit, you've done the goalkeeper, that's out the way, you got no conflicts. And I felt really good about that because I was like, how clever I am with my football knowledge here, picking a Paraguayan who never really played outside his own country, apart from very, very briefly. And then I left myself with a situation where I was going to put Colin Hendry in at centre-half. I was like, fucking Colin Hendry, what a shout. Blackburn, Scotland. Yeah, he had two seasons at Manchester City, which means that he couldn't have him because I had Vincent Kompany in there. Devastated, absolutely devastated. So I spent like the last 20 minutes before I was recording going through World Cup squads from 86 up till 2000 and up to 98, trying to find players that would have done the job. And all I got from that was Jackie McNamara and Slaven Bilic.
What years did McNamara play?
98.
Was it that late? Yeah.
Yeah.
I had Champmano 102 open on my fucking computer. I was using the search engine on that to find players in the right position.
Really?
Yeah. Fucking still
there. I went with the defence there at first because I thought that would be the hardest.
Yeah.
And then, because I didn't do it like you obviously had players in mind. I didn't do it like that. I went, I'm going to sort them out because I know enough about midfielders and forwards to be able to work that out when I get there. Because
yeah.
There's all, like, you know, if I needed to, I could have brought Janinho in from Middlesbrough or something random like that, you know what I mean, or something. And I just went one club men. And then, so my two revisions were, first of all, my first goalkeeper I picked was Petr Cech. But because he played for Arsenal and Chelsea, that was a bit of a pain in the arse.
Yeah.
And then I had Ramos, and then I went, hang on a minute. Oh, well and good doing your defence, but Zizou going to be in this team.
Yeah.
There we go.
Well, that was it. The Zidane thing, yeah, immediately took out Juventus and Real Madrid, and then as the knock-on effect, as we said, Spain, pretty much entirely off the back of it, but, you know, there's just something...
I actually haven't got a Spanish player because of that.
Yeah. That was the
other... But I think I'm Messi, though, so, you know, at least I picked the right Argentine.
Yeah. But I had Manuel Neuer fit, like, one of my first picks as well, and I struggled to keep him in the team the whole way, because I was like, he's the best goalkeeper I've seen. Like, just period, he's unreal. And then I just had to kind of concede and just... slowly changing my team, and you know, you just start getting more and more disappointed in yourself as you realise your football knowledge is terrible.
Yeah.
My search history at the moment is, I mean, it's usually suspect, but at the moment it's fucking like best insert graphical nation here, geographical nation here, and then players ever. And then I just went through the list and was like, no, yeah. Mexico have no good players. Fuck.
It was that thing. The sacrifices are being made, like deciding which AC Milan player you want in your team is one of the hardest things to do. And it then becomes a lesson in who you're not writing off because so many of them play, like a guy, I remember Van Basten, which immediately then writes Ajax off. And you've got the amount of players who've just dripped the way through the Ajax Academy and then spread out and you don't even think about it. Like, you know, your Davids and your Seedorfs and your Kluiverts and your De Beers and your Loudrups and all that. Yeah, like I thought it was going to be dead clever and put a Loudrup in.
95 champions.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, Philip Koch, absolutely, and the rest. Yeah, brilliant stuff. Good. Like, yeah, if anyone's got the time, please do the due diligence on our sides. We'll put them in the comments underneath and we'll put them out on at the Redmen TV on Twitter as well, just to make sure that none of us is catastrophically. I can guarantee I'm probably the most likely to have caught it up because I haven't properly checked it through, but yeah, please do feel free to call us out if we're wrong on that. Tom, topic.
Basically Emre Can the other day was saying Dortmund are back in training, it's in groups of two, and I was just wondering how much of an effect you think that could have on the Bundesliga as a whole in terms of it. It's been really tight this season, I believe, and are there any methods that you've seen on social media or players training that are like you maybe are beneficial or that are just stupid? I know there's been, it's not easy for goalkeepers to kind of do it, but they just need a goal. But I saw that it's not really football related, but I saw two people playing tennis over rooftops the other day, and I was like, the things that people do just to keep in shape and keep playing like their sport with people, it's really interesting. But in terms of the Dortmund thing, I think that's going to be really interesting in terms of clubs rushing to get back into training to get a leg up against the competition, and I think it'll do Dortmund like wonders, if I'm honest.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. JD Power ranks Sleep Number number 1 in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For JD Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Yeah, absolutely.
I was talking to Maddock about something similar to this the other day. And one of the things that I thought was, how you come back from this and how your sports scientists adapt to it could be the difference between almost success and failure this season. You know, if you're in Manchester United's boat and you've got a run at the Champions League with a few games to go and a team above you decides not to mess around with the sports science or just get it wrong, all of a sudden, if you get it right, you can make it. Does that mean that the relegation sides are willing to take a risk, have a little bit of a gamble, try and get them ready for an intense period rather than if you're in Liverpool's boat? I know I've always spoken about this, how, like, you know, you need to get someone's fitness up for 9 months for a season. Liverpool could bring them back with a view to getting them fit for next year because we only have to get 2 wins.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. Manchester United might be just getting them back for 5 fucking weeks at the absolute peak physical condition and then deal with next season when they're in the Champions League. I think it's a fascinating thing.
Yeah.
And teams will be looking across at Germany, Tom, and seeing how they do it. And I think it actually probably helps England. And also on the flip side, Germany could steal a march on European football. Could they be now the third biggest league if Serie A is still a thing? There's a bit of a renaissance around it though, isn't there? All of the footballing fans' eyes in the world are watching your league. If they get it right, they could have a huge spike in money for the next 10 years because of it.
Yeah. Madness. And it is tight at the top. Bayern Munich are on 55, Dortmund are second with 51, Leipzig third on 50, Mönchengladbach fourth, 49, Leverkusen 47. So there's 5 teams there really like vying for the title. If Munich drop off even a tiny bit, then they're going to be right up next to them.
Yeah, I think it's interesting, as you say, that how it impacts the Premier League and what that's going to do moving forward, because I was just looking at the Premier League table there, and, you know, is it just that the clubs who are the biggest and best run, like, I wonder whether this, when you look at like Wolves and Sheffield United, who are massively, well, let's say Wolves are not necessarily punching above the weight, but you take my meaning when I say that, compared to, you would expect the Chelsea's, Man United's, Arsenal, Spurs's to be there, and whether those clubs will actually come back better because there's just more people there to handle all the big, they're probably more capable of handling their players being spread out, and they've probably got more experts at the clubs to help deal with these things. But you're right, it's that thing of you could find clubs burning shortly, could just push themselves to just get those, you know, get that done, and the consequences be damned. And Man United are a great example of that. And again, I keep talking about it, but they're getting a lot of things wrong in the last few years. And it wouldn't shock me if this was another thing, like Solskjaer not having the right level of experience or whatever. But it's mad because they're talking about the Bundesliga. We saw my Chris Williams on Twitter was saying, do you reckon the Bundesliga is going to be back in could be back in 3 weeks? I mean, everyone's going to become a Bundesliga fan. That's going to be the most watched football league in probably in the history of football.
Yeah.
When that actually happens.
No, I'm sorry.
Players, individuals, the professionalism and the mentality of the players, they're taking this time off and thought, I want to keep fit or, you know, get as fit as possibly can. Mentally, it's going to be hard for them, but also, who's the best to react when, you know, I think Dortmund have gone back in pairs, haven't they? Or something like that. So you can prepare for it all you want, be as fit as you want. But if you're not doing, like, you know, things, even simple things like rondos or, you know, tactical preparation towards games, you know, it's the time constraints that you've got within that. And if which teams are best prepared to go and do that, because you can be the best team in the world and have the best players in the world, but you're not mentally prepared to go and do it. And you have to get yourself back up and brain to go and be in there. I've no doubt Liverpool will be ready for it. You know, we can get to see, you know, the doing team training and team sessions together. But as Tom said, if you're a goalkeeper, fans get someone to kick a ball at you, you're more or less there.
It's match sharpness, isn't it, is what you're talking about there. Like, and you say goalkeepers, it is slightly easier for, because you can train your reflexes and you can train that. But across the board, there's no practicing for getting slideys and getting elbowed in the head and doing the proper twists and turns and everything that comes with being in footy, right? That's going to be the big test there.
You're not used to, you know, using those muscles, so you're going straight into an intense 5 week period. But your energy's going to occur every week if you're not prepared properly.
The big test for us is that. Because we're all saying this, taking this for granted, like Liverpool are going to come back and they're going to be in a strong position and we're going to handle this. I mean, this is the problem, is we're a team that's the league's as good as won. It's a mad situation to have to come back and just, you know, knowing that you've only got to get 2 more wins or whatever it is, you know, like that. that's going to be very interesting to see, not just from a fitness perspective, but Liverpool's psychology. Is there a case that having worked tirelessly for basically two seasons back to back, and then you've been given this time off? How do you? Are we going to be capable of picking up where we left off, you know, for this? Because that must be a very difficult thing to do. There must be a few players there who are feeling a bit like they're on the beach.
Do you know what? It wouldn't surprise me if Klopp just uses the lads for 2 weeks. They win the games and he goes, see you later, boys.
Mm.
Come back when the season starts. Have a proper fucking break. A proper break.
Yeah.
And let's get everybody else a winner's medal. Yeah. Getting a few appearances and stuff like that. You know what I mean? And it would surprise me, but equally... Fucking hell, how boss would that be? Klopp just puts his feet up and then we just sail off into the sunset to come back next season in an even better position.
Yeah, so,
could Watford be a blessing in disguise? Like, we wanted to go for an unbeaten run. Like, I wanted that all day and then we lose and you're thinking, oh God. But now we're just like, oh, fuck it then. We can give up that. Whereas I think if we came back and we still had that unbeaten run to go, everyone would want that, and we'd be disappointed after the fact. But now that we've got no expectations,
everyone just wants the title.
Yeah.
Yeah. And now you're right. I think that's the interesting thing. The only other thing is, we don't know what the world's going to look like, even when this, you know, this is all hypothetics, isn't it? Like, there might still be a travel ban. So, like, there's almost like no point in sending your players away because they can't go on Aldi. You know what I mean? They're only going to be back to living in their houses and kicking around the garden with the families and all that. They can't go out and sit off on some tropical beach somewhere. But there's definitely something to it. I would love that notion. And I think you're right. I think that's probably, I think every single one of us now have gone from, oh, we're going to go invincible, or we're going to win the treble, or we're going to break the point score. I don't give a shit about any of those things anymore. I just want the footy to come back long enough for Liverpool to guarantee the title. And I think we'll all be happy with that. So you're right. In a weird way, it would be sad if we miss out on the opportunity to do something historic and set a mad precedent or set a new record. But I think all of us are so desperate just to see that, like, you know, the trophy lift, that yeah, I think we can probably take a back step on that one. Right. Something that came up in The Athletic this week, James Pearce has written an in-depth article looking back on the Being Liverpool series, which was wonderfully timed because we've been planning to do some stuff on that on Red Men anyway. But it was a really fascinating read. I don't know if you guys check this out, or if you really remember much of it from the time. But yeah, James has gone back and he's spoken to a lot of, like, young players. He's spoken to, like, to Jamie Carragher. He's spoken to the producers from Fox who were behind making the series to get their kind of insights and takes on it. And I thought it was really interesting because I think by and large, the overall memories of Being Liverpool are either ones of pure negativity or really, like, cringy embarrassment. I mean, God, me and Chris, you and I did like a parody of it at the end because it was just, it had to be done. It was so ripe to be ripped. And I just wanted to get people's kind of thoughts and feelings on it because obviously, you know, we all come at it from kind of different angles. Anyone got any Being Liverpool memories?
I was talking to someone about this today, actually. I get all the cringy stuff and negativity stuff, but also at the time, because it was a bit different, it was an insight into the club and inside behind the scenes, which I think was why most people watched it. So I got some positivity, but then as the years have gone on and I've seen clips back, it wasn't until on reflection and watching it back a second time or a third time, I've gone, why did anyone from the PR or, you know, marketing side of the club let that go out, be seen in the light of day? And it's probably why a lot of people got negativity towards Brendan, or possibly even Raheem Sterling, who want to dig dead deep into it because of that famous scene.
The thing for me, I love the fact that Klopp said, no, we're not having any of this. And I understand that documentaries and that kind of thing, giving you an insight, and the Man City one's meant to be amazing. I haven't watched that one. I just don't really care about that kind of thing, if I'm honest. And like I say, I made up that Liverpool now don't have that. I can get all the, I've got my own memories of that. I don't really want to know about what the players are doing inside the changing rooms and whatever. Yes, it's an amazing season, but we could have a terrible season. Barcelona were getting filmed losing at Anfield, and I never want that to go out of Liverpool players crying, you know what I mean, and being upset. I never want that. I never want tactics going out there that Klopp has said. I want there to be a mysticism about it, like Istanbul's half-time talk. I love that. The fact that it is, like, different different things and people lying about the players being able to hear you'll never walk alone. But that didn't matter. Everyone, that was a lie for ages. And now we know it's not true, but it doesn't matter. It's still mystical. It's still great. I don't know.
There's a famous bit, and I quote in the article, where in the third episode, Rodgers puts his arm around Alan and announces, "This is the Welsh Xavi. For me, Joe is a unique player. He's a British player. He's hungry for the ball. He's embarrassed if he loses the ball. He's 5'6" or 5'7", but in terms of football talent, he's 6'7". And Jamie Carragher say, "I wouldn't say all that stuff affected Joe Allen's Liverpool career or any of the players. I think it actually affected Brendan more than anyone else." I mean, Chris, that was
The bloody envelopes became more of like more famous than the series itself.
Yeah.
And you realise that I find these things fascinating actually, because it gives you an insight into the manager and like the group of players in a way that you don't normally see. Now the big thing on being Liverpool is Rodgers is just a little bit weird. A little bit of a strange bloke, you know what I mean? And I think you knew that from watching him in his press conferences and stuff, but I think he toned it down for his press conferences, to be honest. He was even weirder and just freaky, to be honest with you. And so if Klopp was to do it, you'd probably fall in love with him even more because of the type of person that he is. And when he forgets that the camera's there, he'd even be himself even more. So I think Klopp's a different case in point. But what it always gets me with any of these things, and I watch the American footy ones, and I've watched the City one, I've watched the Barcelona ones and all that, managing sports teams is just weird. Like, the amount of people who walk around with a fucking chip on the shoulder, they're like some of the best players in the world, the most, the elite of the elite, and they're still carrying a chip on the shoulder. It's madness. And it baffles me because I think, how are you so stupid that this works on you?
Yeah.
Like this us against their mentality. What is it that's broken in your head that you think you play for Chelsea at $100,000 a week and you think you're getting fucking done over? It just makes me laugh.
Well, you said you always talk to me about this because obviously you say like, there's like, is it the ESPN ones, 30 for 30 or whatever? Is it the
No, I like the all or nothing, on the Prime.
Oh. Yeah, but the American football ones, you say, like every season the coach comes in and he gives this speech, and it's they all do the same speech every single year, and every single year it gets them all bought into it. But I think that's what's good about it is like, and I was saying this, so I actually interviewed James Pearce about this. It's going to be on the website and it'll be on YouTube as well this week or next week, sorry. But there are the positive sides, and it set a precedent for what we see now. So when we watch the videos of Oxlade-Chamberlain at home with his missus, or we see videos of like Gerrard doing slideys on his kid in the back garden and stuff like that, this was the first time we ever got to see anything like that. And it's, you know, they did it was so poorly managed, and that Liverpool side were crap, and there were so many rubbish players by comparison in it, but it's become quite I mean, it wasn't the pre-Twitter era, because obviously it was very much a thing at the time, but it was like a pre-proper social media era Liverpool. Like, you wouldn't get that. You never got access like that before. So it's a fascinating little sort of time piece or whatever. But there's some very, very, I mean, Ian Ayre on his Harley. Ask a question.
I did that on my old house, didn't I?
Yeah, we got you on your bike. Yeah, definitely. If we can, we'll find that. I don't know if that's still out there. But yeah, it was good. It was definitely good fun. One thing that it was mentioned, like, I think it was you just said it there, Tom. Maybe that, like, or was it Ross? If Jurgen Klopp was in that series, we would just give him a pass.
That was Chris, yeah.
Yeah, okay, sorry. I knew it was someone with incredible talent and insight.
It's literally coming from this direction, Paul.
The question I asked is like, if you saw a documentary and Peter Moore was riding down the Strand on his Harley, would you be asked?
I think it'd be great. Well, that is the weird thing. I am being very hypocritical. I would love to have seen the dressing room after Aston Villa. Absolutely would have loved to have seen that, but because that Liverpool have upped the game so well with the inside Anfields and what have you, you get to see that in the tunnel. You get to see a little bit of it, and then it gets left, and then you give a message to it, to all the fans and what have you. And I like that kind of thing, and I like that it's kind of kept separate, and I'm sure Klopp's had a lot to say about that. but I would like to see everyone dancing around. You saw that after the Champions League final where Robbo was doing an interview and Alisson's walking down with the cup, and it's just these little interactions of a Scotsman and a Brazilian, and Alisson doesn't know what he's saying, but it's brilliant because of that. I don't know. It's great.
Do you know what the thing that makes those things good or bad? It's kind of the same thing as what makes a good or a bad kit in years gone by. It's whether you're successful in them. Because Rodgers would have been a fucking genius had Liverpool won the league that season.
Yeah.
What my management skills and blah, blah, fucking blah. You see a kit come out, you go, ah, shit. 20 years later, oh, that was a fucking lovely kit. We won the FA Cup in, wasn't it? Just that's what changes things.
Yeah, 100%. 100% on that. If you want more from the Being Liverpool stuff, you can head to theathletic.co.uk/RedmenTV. We've got a special discount there, 50% off your yearly subscription, ready to get the James Pearce article and some of the best writing going on around Liverpool and world football today as well. So, yeah, do go and check that out. And if you want more from me and Pearce, that'll be on the channel. And we're going to be doing a Being Liverpool rewatch watch along series. Stay tuned to @RedmenTV on Twitter for all the latest updates on when that's going to be happening. I'm feeling maybe a week Friday to start that, but more info on the Twitter as and when we know it. Right, okay, let's get into the sanity playlist for the week then, where I asked the guys to put together three songs that's been, you know, maybe keeping them afloat or maybe reflecting their mood for the week. We combined them into a playlist. This is the fourth week of the playlist. All of them are available on Spotify right now. If you just type in Red Men Sanity Playlist, they'll all come up on there. I have gone for, because I talked about it last week, it didn't make the cut, so it's made it this week. Izzo, The End from the Jay-Z Linkin Park Collision Course, Victoria by The Kinks, and The Power of Love by Huey Lewis in the News. The last one, particularly because me and my lad were building the Playmobil Back to the Future DeLorean this weekend. I've just had a proper nostalgia. Him whistling the Back to the Future tune around the house all weekend, and my four-year-old daughter saying, "Can I play with the Back to the Future car?" has been absolute, like, the greatest. And that song is an uplifting banger. So I highly recommend people get onto that. Chris, what have you got?
Louis Prima, Baby, Won't You Please Come Home.
Okay.
Because I love Louis Prima, and it's kind of what I'm thinking about my wife pretty much all day. Moldy Peaches, Steak for Chicken. If you've not listened to that before, you need to listen to it. So I think it was in a film as well. Certainly the Moldy Peaches have sung over films. And The Police, Please Don't Stand So Close to Me, or Don't Stand So Close to Me even. I wanted Mad Caddies, My Girl, but Spotify, crap, basically.
Yeah. Some Mad Caddies, but yeah, not that one.
They just don't have the early stuff. I'm not sure why. I don't know whether it was something to do with Fat Records or something, like, but they seem to have issues with the Mad Caddies. I don't know what it is.
Tom?
Homecoming, Kanye West. Easy. It's just an absolute belter, especially with the weather we've been having. Love and Happiness, again, another one, just from the weather. You just sat off and that tune's on there. And then The Suburbs by Arcade Fire. And that one is... basically, I've got a playlist of, like, upbeat guitar tunes, and it's the first song that comes on every time I press play. So I hear that every time I start that playlist, and then inevitably press shuffle to go through them all. But it's such a good... all three of them songs are fantastic in their own different ways. But, The Suburbs by Arcade Fire is so good.
Amazing. Ross?
Toto Africa, because I had it in last week, but I swapped it out for something. I can't remember what it was, but like, I was in there. Intergalactic by the Beastie Boys, because it's just a fucking tune. And Over the Hills by Iron Maiden, just to cover all moods.
Yeah, I like the fact that everyone's got a little bit of, like, the subtle undertones of the world that we're in today. I very nearly went with Wastelands by The View for a very similar reason today, but decided against it. All bells and shouts. I'm particularly looking forward to smashing out Run to the Hills. I think that's
I was Ace of Spades last week.
The what?
I was Ace of Spades last week.
Oh, mate, Ace of Spades, yeah. So I had to drop some equipment off at your house, and it would come on just as I was coming around the corner, and I was like bopping around the estate. Great. Size put his three tracks in as well. Temptation by New Order, Comfort Bubble Gum by Confidence Man, and Something or Other by Mac Miller. What's the Use by Mac Miller? Check out that playlist. Yeah, we'll put the link out there. It's on Spotify. You can just search Red Men Sanity Playlist if you want to get involved. Right, it is time for the schoolyard game.
Shit, I need to know something I have to do.
While we talk about that, Paul, can I just talk about how flawed the system we used? I praised it massively when I beat Chris, but when I lost to you. When I lost to you, I mean, my team are passing backwards.
To clarify, for those of you unsure and didn't watch the Twitch stream, we'll put a clip in. I won series one of the Schoolyard game, coming out on top with a dominant performance over Tom's.
Talk about fucking fixing your aeroplane while it's in the area. Fucking I won series one. When we were having the fucking first Schoolyard game, there was no series. There was no fucking thing up for grabs, but all of a sudden Paul gets through, it's a final. You know what I mean? And then fucking series one end. Yeah. Why not a fucking league, lad? Where's the discussion, lad? You know what I mean?
Who came first?
One and out. You're having a laugh. Nah, okay. I'm not playing.
But do you want to have a third?
There's your fucking Schoolyard game. Fucking going home.
Taking my ball, I'm going off.
Do you want to have a third place playoff, Tom, given that you didn't register a single shot in both of your games?
Yeah, because you turned the sliders down. I've watched you do it on your screen.
Turn the sliders up, lads. I came out on top against Tom. That was the first is just to compartmentalise. It was based on the current Liverpool squad. The next couple few weeks is going to be based on Liverpool's 13-14 squad of Suarez, Coutinho, Gerrard, et al. Again, we're back to the start. If you want to do this in a league format, I'm just concerned that it's going to get a bit samey if we have to do this too many times over a number of weeks.
Same thing for us over and over. We don't like. I'm not watching the games, so I'm just picking a team, mate.
Yeah.
You can do whatever you want.
But no,
let's do a league. Better that way.
You can't do a league.
Keep track of, Paul.
Can't do a league. Yeah, what I mean is we have to do it more times on the podcast. We'll keep it as is. Your opinions are noted and duly ignored. So it's going to be Chris and Tom again this week. I'm going to go and grab a pen. Bear with me.
Does anyone have a coin this week? We should think that we need something to flip.
Well, I can go with the DVD again.
I mean, anything with two sides works. I've literally got nothing in front of me. That's two sides.
I'd flick my phone, but I've already broken the screen once this week.
I've got one of those trolley things. Oh, sort of. Yeah, that's a coin.
I mean, are we going to be happy that it's a legitimate coin? I'm just saying, we've got the two biggest fucking cry asses playing against each other here.
I think I picked last time, Chris, so you can pick if you want unison or not unison.
Unison or
Liverpool Community and Hospitals Health. Which one would you like?
I will take first pick, thanks.
But not, yeah. Would you like Houston or Hospital Health?
I thought you were saying you picked first last time, so it's my turn to pick first this time.
No, I picked first to flick a coin.
Oh, whatever. Unison.
Ah,
oh,
pen's got no nib. Shit.
Unison.
Right.
What if I want to pick second?
Well, you can do that.
I'll pick first, please.
Yeah.
Right, hang on.
No. I feel like we cut round this, to be fair.
Okay.
When he comes back, just start on the attack.
Yeah. To be honest, right, I've had a look at these. This is going to be substantially harder. I've got the squad in front of me, and
I'm writing it down now, lad.
Yeah, it's not great, to be honest with you.
So two more each.
And then Suarez, please.
Yeah.
Okay.
Probably lasted
that long.
Back on then.
You're
with that, Paul.
What?
The squad?
We just did our teams then.
Sad. Okay, who's going first?
Chris.
I am going first. I'll take one Luis Suarez, please.
Daniel Sturridge.
Sterling, please.
Coutinho.
Gerrard, please.
Simon Mignolet.
Sounds. Oh, bollocks. Right. the game. What are they going to be like on the game? That's what you've got to think about now. Not fucking real life.
Exactly. That's what did me over. Adrian let a free kick in from Trent, and I was fuming.
I reckon Agger's boss on this game, Agger.
I'm not going to go with Brad Jones. I'm not going to do it over. I'll have Jose Enrique.
I'll go for Sacco.
Sacco.
Glenn Johnson.
Ooh.
Hendo.
I'll have Lucas.
Aspas.
Someone had to do it.
Torre.
Alan.
Skirtle.
No way was I getting him. Fucking red card and waiting.
Who did you last pick, sorry?
Foot knows, wait. Alan, maybe?
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is hard.
Getting tense. And there's the difference is you've got the squad list written out in front of you this week.
Sissoko. No, actually.
Oh, hang on a second.
Can you do that? You said his full name.
No, I didn't. You said Sissoko. That's not his full name, is it,
you blurt? You were so
You're a fucking chess and I've not touched my piece. Well, just fucking play on.
How do rules, Chris? No one said that you can't.
This is the second series. The rules change from the first series, Tom. Yeah, you know what I mean?
Final.
Evan, I take back some players before. I'm going to allow it this once.
Who did I say? I forgot which one I was saying.
I'm going to say Sissoko.
Yeah, Sissoko, because I said his full name. Ali.
Victor Moses.
Okay.
Martin Kelly.
Have you picked Ibe?
No.
I'll have Ibe then.
And I'll tell you, is it Brad Jones, the keeper?
Jones.
And yeah. I'll have... I don't know, I've got him in midfield.
As if I've built a side with two left-footed centre-halves.
Oh, no, Chris. It must be shit, because no one does it.
I'll have Luis Alberto.
Yeah. Yeah, you will.
That's it. I'm not having Tesh yet, then, am I? Sand?
Okay.
What's that?
You're 4-3-3.
I don't know.
Okay. I have gone 4-3-3, by the way.
I need to know me players. I'll let you know after the pod.
I've got Jones in goal, Paul, left-back Sissoko, right-back Kelly, or Agasako, whichever way, they both feel wrong. I'll let you decide there. Deepest line of the three.
Yeah.
I want Joe Allen.
Okay.
Is the six,
As the six. I want Gerrard on the right centre and Henderson on the left centre.
Yeah.
I want Sterling on left wing. I want Aspas on right wing, apparently, and Suarez up front.
Okay, sound.
So I'll have them as a narrow three, please, Paul, though.
A narrow three.
A narrow front three, yeah.
I see, okay, sound.
Yeah, you know what I mean, proper centre forwards.
I'll have...
Centre forwards, okay.
Yeah.
Is Victor Moses right-footed? He is, isn't he?
He is.
Okay, I'll have Mignolet goal, Johnson right-back, Skirtle and Colo. Skirtle on the right, Colo on the left, Enrique left-back, Lucas defensive mid, Coutinho and Alberto. Then I want Moses on the right, Sturridge in the centre, and Ibe on the left.
Just sort your framing out there, Tom.
I will do. I'm concentrating.
You want Moses left wing?
Moses left wing, Ibe right wing.
Sturridge centre forward.
Back a bit, Tom. Back a bit. There you go. Down a bit. Oh, yeah. Oh, down just a touch more. There we go.
So then, let's just level this out. Then, as it stands, Tom is the better.
Paul, hang on a minute, mate. I want a possession based side. Tick attacker, please.
I want to explain why you think your side's going to win, Chris.
Well, because I've got Suarez, Paul.
Yeah, that's a good reason as any.
But you've got... The thing is with this is, Gerrard was 34 at the time in your midfield. He's slow. I've got Ibe, who's fast. I've got Coutinho, who's good. I've got the better back five by far.
Would you rather have a 34-year-old Gerrard or Jordan Ibe in your team?
Me.
Different positions. Wait, is Gerrard playing defensive mid for you, Chris?
Yeah.
No, game over then, Lucas.
Right. Okay, so I've got Raheem Sterling and I've got Luis Suarez. And what were the four jokers at the back call for you?
They were part of one of the best defensive partnerships ever.
And what were the four players called?
Sorry, Chris. What was your back four? I'll tell you mine. Johnson.
The one we used to call John Glenson because he was so bad. Yeah, okay, next.
It's all right this season.
I won't say anything bad about Jose Enrique because he's an absolute legend, but he can only turn one way.
In Tom's defence, he's got, of the squad that you've got there, he's got the best right back. He's probably got the best centre half, maybe in Sacco. Bear in mind, this was 13
Sacco's
14.
Well, then.
Chris has probably got the best centre half.
He's got the best centre half partnership, yeah.
The best two centre halves.
Chris has got the. I think Sturridge is probably the best.
Sturridge is great at shooting and pace.
It's too tight to call.
Sterling couldn't shoot at the time.
I think this game's going to be won in the midfield, Tom. And Steven Gerrard, Jordan Henderson, and wee Joe Allen.
Oh.
And there's three fellas who play like the 6'7" right there, mate.
I'm tempted to say Joe Allen's going to miss like against Everton, but you know he's going to score now.
Yeah. Okay, sad. Right, so we're going to put a poll out once again. You get to decide who you think will come out on top, which is the better team, what is the most likely to take home the place in the final of the schoolyard game for 13-14. Let us know on all that and any thoughts and critiques of the team in the comments section underneath on YouTube as well. Let's get to I will be streaming that on Friday night on Twitch, on twitch.tv/MateGaming. Come and join in. I always have a good laugh and absolutely ruin my throat at the same time, which makes it sound like I'm streaming to another platform, but there you go. Anyway, Hugh Murphy has sent a question in for us. Chris, how many footballs do you think you would be able to fit in the team bus?
Oh, that's a tough question. Really? 789. Ah, hang on. I'm thinking pumped up here. 2,961.
Okay. So, there's no way no one is there. Theo Hare is one of our wonderful contributors.
You mean there's no answer?
Subscribers, can you?
It's not like a jar full of sweets.
It's an answer. For
sakes. You could do that social distancing. Can we see if we could get that sorted?
Yeah,
they're not doing anything with the fucking coaches, are they?
Sat there, isn't it? The team bus is just doing fuck all. Maybe we could. We'll wipe it down after we're done.
Can we?
You always say that, but you never do.
Can we expense 2,000 footballs?
I'll have them kicking around as well, Tom. They'll just be sat off at Melwood, I'm certain of it. Steel here, again, is one of the top contributors to the Redmen TV subscribers group on Facebook. If you subscribe to the RedmenTV.com, get on that group. He says, if you were a boxer / professional wrestler / cage fighter, what song would you have as your entrance track, Tom?
I like how you always manage to pick the wrestling ones out for the podcast. I've gone with... the start of Twisted Transistor, but the instrumental, no singing because it goes a bit high pitched. But like, you know, the start of Twisted Transistor by Korn. I reckon you could walk out to that and it'd be so.
Okay, Chris, yeah. is it as simple as going to Taylor Swift?
Probably, but for Ed's music now. I think I'll go with Rage Against the Machine, Killing in the Name of.
Oh, classic.
And obviously you want it remixed, you don't want like the full start, 30 seconds or whatever. You're cutting this down to size, you know what I mean? Depends how long the ring walk is as well, I suppose. Big questions that you've got to ask. Are you doing like a boxing one where you're taking 2.5 minutes? Maybe you can get a little bit of a medley going. Or is it just a wrestling? I want to run down there screaming, fuck you, I won't do what you told me.
You want to do like an Ultimate Warrior style belt, short and fast and patient and energetic. Yeah, I like that. I think man needs to have some sort of like, you need a moment at the start of it so that when you hear the opening note, everyone you know in the crowd immediately knows who it is. Like glass breaks, it's Stone Cold Steve Austin, you know, that kind of thing. I've gone for Die MF by Dope, because it's just it's just a boss, like, really angry, aggressive start to, and it basically encourages, it's just that he wants everyone to die. So yeah, that, I think that's good. Ross, what would you have?
Probably on the same lines as Chris, but something like Led Zeppelin, a heavy metal, like Communication Breakdown. Again, you recognise the fucking song as soon as it comes on, but it's high energy, it's energetic, and nothing like me.
See, I'm thinking all this, like, wrestling. I don't see any of us coming out as wrestlers. Darts, maybe? I could see us all coming out and, towards the darts. We have the bodies for it.
We could probably socially distance play darts, couldn't we? Could probably still do. We could probably have a Red Men Darts League. We'll wait till things start to slow down a bit before we get slaughtered on it. But yeah, absolutely.
I literally socially distance the darts from the board anyway. So you don't even know what you're playing with me. I'm terrible at darts.
You're not going to catch coronavirus, but you might get hit by a dart. That's taken off with the smooth on that one. Right. Okay, Sam, we've got loads of very, very, very random questions to be getting through, including if the Red Men TV crew are marooned on a desert island, who gets the jobs to enable you all to survive, or are you all fucked? We're going to answer that on the subscriber Q&A over on the redmentv.com, including favourite footy kids of all time, worst referee in performance, we might do that one. Would you rather have a cock on every notch of your spine, or what's it dust on your fingers for the rest of your life? Anyway, there's a whole bunch of random things. We have good fun doing it. So if you enjoy this podcast and you want more of the random stuff, go to the redmentv.com right now and sign up. You can get the video version and you can get it in your native podcast and app. All of the subscriber shows that do that are available there. So you can get them on the go. So you can put them in your ears, or you can obviously put them on your telly and all that kind of stuff as well. There is the exclusive interview with Jimmy Traore with Jose Enrique. Chris spoke to Dave Maddock last week as well. I have done some stuff with James Pearce. We've got loads of exclusive interviews with football past and present lines up. Perfect time to go and sign up, so do go to the redmentv.com. It's just £5 a month, and it helps make all of this possible. It makes it possible to have Chris over there, to have Tom down there, to have Ross down there. Do go and watch the video just to see what we were up to, really. If you're on podcast and apps, give a 5-star review. If you're on YouTube, drop a like, and we'll be back with the Red Men podcast next week.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.